Our key verse today is found from John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So the question we want to ask ourselves today is, who is Jesus? Who is he to us? I kind of like the idea of, you know, C.S. Lewis said, you know, if you're just going to say Jesus was a great moral teacher, then when you look at his other claims, then that's, you know, that just can't be. Because he claimed to be something other than human. Now, how many remember that game that we played as kids? Kind of like 20 questions? Where, you know, you kind of pick something out and then everybody else would ask questions to try to figure out what that thing was. Oh, come on, am I the only one to play 20 questions as a kid? You just like to see people kind of nod their head a little bit here. We used to play a version of that in the car on trips. And it always started out the same way. I spy with my little eye something blue, red, green, shiny, dull. And then we would go along and we would ask more questions and ask about locations, and you know things would go along. And my son Ian, who's all grown up now, he always wanted to win. I don't know where he got that from. But I remember one time, you know, we're doing the I spy with my little eye something white. So it's like, okay, it's the front seat. No. Is it on the hood of the car? No. Is it outside the car? No. Is it behind? Is it in the back seat? Yes. It's like, well, I can't see very many things back there. It's like, well, I still see it. Keep going. So, you know, we go through there. And finally, it's like, okay, we give up. He goes, it's a piece of popcorn in the floor here.
Oh, you didn't see that?
Yeah. So, all the questions we could have asked, we could have never figured out what he had seen. But you know, as we have been going along here, we're going through the I Am series. And this tells us who Jesus is. Answers a lot of questions about it. Now we've been through the bread of life and the light of the world. And so today is I Am the Gate and the Good Shepherd. And so, one of the things we have to set this up. Now, I do apologize that these sermons are taking a little bit longer than most of mine have in the past. However, John does not make this easy. Matter of fact, this teaching, if we were to go through all of it, it's actually two chapters, chapter 9 and chapter 10. But I'm going to summarize chapter 9 for us so we can get into chapter 10 there. How many of you remember the story about the man born blind? Okay, kind of a little teaser up there. You know, there's this man born blind, and the disciples ask a really silly question of him. They say, "Master, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Well, if he was born blind, I don't think he could have had a sin that would have caused him to be born blind. Jesus answers them, and he says, "Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." Jesus spits on the ground, makes a little bit of mud, puts it on the guy's eyes and says, "Go wash." Well, he follows what the master says, goes down, puts water in his face, washes the mud off, and he can see. Now the problem is that Jesus did this on the Sabbath. That was a no bueno. You know, there was this big crowd. They all knew him. He was the blind guy who's there. And so, you know, the rulers of the temple are saying, "Hey, what? You know, how did this happen?" He's like, "Well, this guy, he made mud, and he put it on my eyes, and now I can see." It's on the Sabbath. He's like, "Didn't you listen?" "Yes, I was blind, but now I see." "Well, let's get your mom and dad in here. We don't believe you." "Was this boy, you were born blind?" "Well, yeah, he was, but we don't know how he sees. You ask him." So they kept asking all these questions of him. Kind of like that, I spied with my little eye. And you know, they were trying to disparage Jesus. And they said, "You know, this man isn't from God." And he says, "Well, that's something, you know, He cured me. Have we ever heard of somebody been born blind who's been healed? So they just really went after him. But you know, he had an answer, and finally their final answer, since they couldn't answer him, was, "All right, buddy, you're out of here. We're going to kick you out of the temple. You can no longer come here." Jesus finds out, and he says something to him. He says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Now remember, we talked about that. Jesus' title, Son of Man, is a reference to Daniel, where the Son of Man appears before the Ancient of Days and receives a kingdom. And the blind man, or the formerly blind man, he says, "Who is him that I can believe in him?" He says, "You're looking at him." And this man falls down and worships Jesus. Now Jesus received worship. He didn't say, get up. No. Only God can receive worship. Now, of course, the Pharisees were trailing Jesus. They were always looking for something to get him in trouble about. And today was no different. They questioned him. They made accusations. And here is what Jesus had to say to them. "I'll tell you what. Let's stand. And I'm going to read this to you, so let's stand in reverence to the Lord's word. Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door, but climbs in another way, this man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. When he bought out his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the stranger's voice.' Father, thank you for the reading of your word, and would you add your blessing to it? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen." You may be seated. Seems like a little bit of an odd question, or an odd response, what Jesus was saying to those Pharisees who were trailing him. You see, the question is, who is Jesus? And this is the question that they were asking the blind man. This is the question that the Pharisees were constantly trying to figure out who Jesus was. But the problem is that they did not listen to the plain teaching that Jesus gave them, to the plain declarations that he made. Who is Jesus? Is he a sinner or is he a prophet? Is he a miracle worker or a deceiver? Is he the Messiah or is he just another pretender? So what Jesus does, he begins to teach them. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." What does that have to do with who Jesus is? Well, if we take a look at this, if we start to break this down, well, the metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep was often used in the Old Testament for the king of Israel and the people of Israel. You see, this was the type of relationship that the king of Israel was supposed to have with his subjects. It's not like we kind of think of leaders today where the boss has a big office and, you know, sends out memos and emails and things like that. The good shepherd, or the good king, was to be like a shepherd, like David. He was supposed to care for the people. And so when we take a look at this, I do believe, and, you know, the commentators have a bunch of argument about this passage of Scripture, and so you may have heard it a little differently, but there are about three or four different interpretations on it. But I'm going to give you the one that I think makes sense, that as we go through the Word. So, the sheepfold. Well, the sheepfold, that's Israel. The lamb in there, the Israelites. We notice that there's a door. And this particular one, this is the way that the
shepherd gets in. Now, when we take a look, you know, there was a psalm that they sang on their way to the temple. And in it they said that God is the gate. That God is the one who allows the children of Israel to come in and come out. And so we take a look at this. So the sheepfold, well, that's Israel. The gate, the gatekeeper. God is at the gate. Now, those who don't come in through the gate, Jesus said, well, those are thieves and robbers. Sometimes we wonder, who's the thieves and robbers? Well, those who weren't God's anointed to lead God's people. There were many thieves and robbers who came about in the kingdom of Israel. People who cared more about their title and their authority and the fact that they were king and that these other people weren't. They had their own best interest at heart, not the interest of the people. But then there's a shepherd. Well, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We're all familiar with that, aren't we? Now, sometimes people may say, well, wait a minute. Time out here, Pastor. Isn't, you know, if God is the gate and the shepherd, well, the shepherd is Jesus. Well, Jesus is later on going to say that he's the door, too. You know, there's no contradiction there. Because Jesus isn't a moral teacher. Jesus is God. It is possible for Jesus to be both the gate and the shepherd. And so as we look at this, we have to realize, you know, we put this in context of the people of the time. Jesus is saying that there is one way. God is the one who lets them come, lets them go. It is the shepherd who calls to the people. So we notice here. Let's look at this. To him the gatekeeper opens. That's the right way to come. The thieves and the robbers jump over the fence. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. The gatekeeper opens. The shepherd calls, and the sheep respond. Now notice, not all the sheep respond. It says his sheep know his voice. He calls out his own. You see, Jesus as the Messiah is calling Israel to come to him. Oh, there are plenty of the leaders who have been before him, who have jumped the gate, and who've gone in, and who have been, you know, I talked to our African children, and you know, I talked to them about this part of scripture, and you know, we came up with the idea there are the shepherds out there who use a stick. And what do they do? They come in there and they kind of beat on the sheep, they get them going there. But what does a good shepherd do?
Talks to them,
opens it up. They hear his voice and they know his voice. You know, Jesus is continually calling us. Remember John 3:16? That whosoever, Jesus is calling and he wants us to respond. Jesus isn't called to beat us with a stick. He calls. He wants all to come to repentance. Just as that day in Israel, he wants everyone to come to him. Messiah, the King of Israel, stands at the sheep gate and calls for people to respond. Only his sheep respond. Now remember, we need to link this to our previous teaching. John chapter 6. It says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For it is the will of my Father that everyone who looks on the Son
and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus is that bread of heaven that came down. And his will is that people would respond to his voice. That people would believe in him. That people would receive him. Now he uses the metaphor of the sheep as the Messiah, as the king of Israel. Now, one of the things about it, we take a look there. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Those who are called by the Lord know his voice and respond to his voice. You know, we are the sheep, just as the kingdom of Israel was the flock that he was calling from. You know, today we're those sheep. And he's calling us. Some people he's calling for salvation. Some people he's calling for a greater commitment. Some people they're calling to do great works. But the Lord is calling. And notice, the voice of a stranger? Well, the voice of a stranger, they don't know. They don't follow. And you know, Jesus says all this. And do you know what happened to the Pharisees there? Those who don't have your Bibles there? Blind man can't see. They had no idea about what Jesus was talking about. He uses messianic language. He uses, Jesus' idea was that, hey, I'm going to speak in these dark things so they don't understand and they can't come to me. These were the teachers of Israel. These were smart guys, definitely smarter than me. And they were saying, it says, they did not understand. If a person is willingly blind, there is nothing that anybody can do to make them see the light. We remember from the teachings of Jesus, no man comes to the Father but through the Son. No man comes to the Son unless the Father would draw him. And we know that it is the Holy Spirit who draws men to Jesus. But God will not force himself on anyone. Jesus will not force you to believe. The Holy Spirit will not knock you down and say, hey, you must believe in this. We have a choice to make. You can be blind. Willfully blind. Now notice, he's got a formerly blind man standing at his side. Who has seen the light, who knows the power of God, and then he's talking to those who have been educated. Jesus is still calling today. Sometimes people will have objections to him. Sometimes people aren't actually sure what Jesus is saying. But sometimes people are just, well, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And so there are some people who perhaps they're not willfully blind, but Satan is keeping them from hearing what Jesus has to say to them. Next, Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone comes by me, he will be saved, and will go out and go in and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Whew, verily, verily, amen, amen. I am the door of the sheep. One way. All who came before me, the sheep did not listen to them. When we look at this, Jesus is shepherd and door. He proclaims himself to be the way and also the means. It is the way as the door is opened up, and it is a shepherd who calls to the sheep and they respond. Jesus is not a way, as the Muslims that Emily is dealing with seem to kind of think. But Jesus is the way, the shepherd, the door, the means of salvation and the way to heaven. I am the door. Anyone who enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Theologian Tom Wright has to say, in many Eastern sheepfolds, the shepherd lies down at night in the gateway to stop the sheep from getting out and to stop predators from getting in. Here Jesus seems to indicate that the way in which the shepherd keeps the sheep safe, and like God himself in Psalms, he watches over their going out and their coming in. You see, Jesus is the way. Jesus is also the means by which we receive our sustenance spiritually. It is by the way which we receive life and life eternal. Yes, it's also the way by which we follow in what the Master has called us to do. How good of a sheep are you? Sometimes I wish I were better. But you know what? God doesn't grade on perfection. No. He grades on us being obedient to what the voice of God is telling us. Not always perfect. Neither are you. We don't have to be perfect. We just respond to the voice of God. Whether that voice is saying, today is the day of salvation. Or if the voice is saying it's time to go out into the pasture. It's time to go out into the field. It's time to go and to do. You see, because we need to think big. It's about entering the kingdom. As we come to the kingdom, as we come to the shepherd who leads us, not one who beats us, but who goes before us, who shows us the way, then we safely arrive at where the shepherd wants to lead us. The shepherd has no business in looking out for his own interest. His priority is the sheep. Find a king, find a Messiah, find a leader who leads like that, and you found the Lord's anointed. You see, Jesus didn't come to establish his kingdom on earth this time. Jesus didn't come to judge the world this time. Jesus came to provide a way of salvation for all of us who would believe. In Ezekiel 34:23, God prophesies, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd." Jesus is declaring himself to be the shepherd spoken of in Ezekiel. Now there's a contrasting difference between the Messiah and for those others. Jesus would say, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and life more abundantly. Now, believe it or not, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus isn't talking about the devil there. Although we've used that, and I do believe that to be true, but in context of where Jesus is talking about, what Jesus is talking about there, he's not talking about Satan. He's talking about false leaders. He's talking about those who have their own agenda, not about the good shepherd. What did he say? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Oh, self-centered, destructive, causing death. No, he says, all those who came before me, these were the leaders who cared only for themselves. Evil kings of Israel. Puppet governments set up by Babylon, by Rome. Even Herod Agrippa cared only for power and what he could get. Then he goes on to talk about, he was the hired hand. Those Israel was waiting for one king. He says, those who came before me, they're thieves and liars. Then he talks about some people who are supposed to be tending the flock. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees a wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. He's talking about religious leaders of the day. Those whose only care about themselves. Who are these hirelings? Well, those people he was talking to that day would have known. You see, there were the Sadducees who were put in charge of the temple by the Roman government. They didn't care for the sheep. They didn't care for Israel. They didn't even believe in the supernatural. They believed in power. They believed in what they could get for themselves. They were political appointees with an agenda that they were going to be the prevailing power in Jerusalem and over the Jews. Then you had the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the rulers of the synagogues. Those were the local churches all scattered all throughout Israel. Any place that there were three Jewish men. They weren't concerned about the safety of the sheep. They were concerned about ruling the people through legalism, through fear. They were the ones who beat the sheep, not the ones who led the sheep. And you know, as I was preparing to this, and I came across something from, well, there's a Jewish writing called the Babylonian Talmud. And about 30 years later, the Jews would rebel. And the Romans would come and lay siege to Jerusalem. And so we see here, let me read this part to you. It says, according to the Babylonian Talmud, a leader of the temple was smuggled out to meet the Roman general Vespasian. And while he was there, he prophesied that Vespasian would ascend to be the emperor of Rome. A messenger arrived with word that Vespasian had indeed been elected as the emperor of the empire. He granted the rabbi three requests, and here's what the rabbi requested of Vespasian. He said, "Give me the family of Rabbi Gamaliel," and they were spared. He said, "Give me Rabbi Tazok." And he was spared. And he said, "Give me the Sanhedrin." Those were the 70 leaders. The 70 religious leaders of Israel. And they were spared. And they all fled Jerusalem. Were allowed to live. And the wolf sacked Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and killed most of the inhabitants. In a way, Jesus prophesied what would happen. The wolf showed up, and what happened? They got the elite out. They set up shop. And they allowed everything else to be ground flat. Jesus would prophesy, not one stone will be left upon another. And that is what happened. Israel would be scattered, just like the sheep. Whenever the wolf shows up, the hired hands don't look out for the flock, but they look out for their own interest. You see, if you're going to lead, it takes a little bit of ego. Sinful leaders edge out God. Look out for themselves. Look for their own agenda. A servant leader is what Jesus came to be. Exalt God only. So what type have you been called to be? Are you more concerned with your own agenda? Are you more concerned with how you can get ahead? Are you the servant like Jesus?
Jesus' job was to exalt his Father only.
We get the chance to pick. What type of ego are we going to have? The good shepherd comes to give life, an abundant life. We take a look at that life is opposed to death, which is what all the people of Jerusalem suffered because the hirelings fled. They could have asked that a portion would be saved, but they didn't. Their ego was to exalt themselves. Jesus says, I came to give life and life more abundantly. That is very similar to when Jesus said that it speaks about eternal life. Remember, we're all going to live forever somewhere. The eternal life that Jesus gives, the abundant life that Jesus gives, is the quality of life that we're going to have from the moment we listen to the voice of the shepherd until Jesus comes and sets up his throne for the millennial kingdom. Jesus wants us all to have abundant life, and he invites us to that. The whosoever is you. You who have heard and who believe. Not like the wolf who comes to devour the sheep, but the lion of Judah who comes to lay down with the lamb. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. You see, there has been a millennial promise to us. Ezekiel would say, I will make a covenant in peace and banish all harmful things in that day. And I will make them and the places all around them a blessing. I will send down showers in their season and showers of blessings. The trees will yield fruit, and the earth shall increase, and they shall be secure on the land. They shall be secure on the land, and I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord. Jesus calls. Even that day, he was calling for people to listen to him, to follow him. They were expecting the Messiah to kick out the Romans. Jesus is speaking about a kingdom yet to come. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You know, I don't think we really need to parse this out. We understand. Jesus dies for his sheep. Not like the hirelings. Not like the thieves who jump into the sheepfold, but Jesus lays down his life. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. He lays down his life so that we can have life eternal. The whosoever. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh. Jesus is calling. That day, he was calling. Today, he is calling. He is the good shepherd. He knows you, and he's calling you by name. The Holy Spirit is dealing with us today. What's he calling you to? You see, the kingdom of Israel was promised a Messiah who would come, who would set up a kingdom, who would banish death and famine, and he would be with them forever. And he calls. You see, that's the important thing. Jesus has promised us all these things, but you know, there is kind of a condition on our part. He's calling. The answer is, the question is, are you going to respond? Or have you responded? Jesus is calling. Now, for those who think maybe he's not talking about us today. Well, this is us. And I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. The Lord Himself will gather us like sheep. Isaiah 56:8, the Lord who gathers the outcast of Israel declares, I will also gather others to Him beside those who have already gathered. The Lord includes us in the promise of Israel, the family of Abraham. We're called to be a part of that. The shepherd is coming. And as the good shepherd, He says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life down that I may take it up. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. This charge I have from my Father. Now, folks, family, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. The Romans didn't kill Jesus. God's plan was for Jesus to lay down His life for all the sheep, for the whosoever will. He laid down His life voluntarily. Yes, He would use the Jewish leadership and the Roman government as the method, as the tool. But He says, I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus died for you by His own will. God didn't force Jesus. Holy Spirit didn't force Jesus. This is the plan, that all would come to Him, and that Jesus lays down His life for all of us. And you know what happened? Half of them said, you got a demon. You're mad. You're crazy. And the other half said, well, how can he be crazy? Can a demon-possessed man, can he heal the blind, a man born blind? Does he have teaching like this? Does he do signs like this? And so they had the question. They said, Jesus, who are you? That's your question today. Who is Jesus? Who are you, Jesus? They weren't listening. I told you and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. Ouch. They understood what He was talking about. They understood that the sheepfold now, being the nation of Israel, then here it is, He is claiming to be the Messiah. There was no shortages of Messiah in that day. He was just, Jesus, for many of them, He was just the next self-proclaimed Messiah. But you know, this Messiah raises the dead, forgives sin, receives worship, calls those who are lost to come, calls to the down and out, calls to those who are in authority, calls to those who are without authority to believe in who He is. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That is so important when it comes to accepting Jesus as your Savior. It's not a prayer. It's not a sign of the membership card. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you following Jesus? That's the question. Have you made a decision to follow Jesus? Sometimes we say yes. My response to you would be, then follow Him. Follow where He's calling you to go. Follow Him, what He wants you to do. If you're hearing the voice of Jesus, if you belong to the shepherd, then obey what His voice is telling you to do. How'd they respond? Oh, they picked up stones. Oh, but not all of them. The ones who reject Jesus are not the whosoever will. Jesus is calling. He says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Who can give eternal life? Only God. Jesus says, I'm giving eternal life. Well, who does that make him? God. Jesus says, God is calling. He would say, I and the Father are one. Jesus is God. And he's calling. That day, some listened, some followed. Some wanted him arrested. Some wanted him killed on the spot. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to be ambivalent towards him. Like perhaps some of the Muslims my daughter is ministering to. Jesus wants to accept him as the good shepherd and listen to his voice. Jesus has said, I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. If I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is with me and that I am with the Father. And so, as we close out today, who is Jesus to you? What's his voice telling you to do? And the question is, are you going to respond? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we hear your voice and that we are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we ask that you would take, Lord, and that you would, Lord, you would continue to call to us and that we would be obedient. This morning, while all heads are still bowed, is there anybody here today that you say, Pastor, I need to respond. I need to respond to Jesus. I need to accept him and to follow him. Is there anybody here today who the Holy Spirit has drawn you to that point of decision? I'd like for you just to raise your hand and then put it down. Anyone at all? All right. Is there anyone here today that the shepherd has called you? And you know that you need to be obedient to what he's called you to do. And you want to follow him as he leads. Won't you just raise your hand and put it down? I want to pray for you this week. Anybody at all. You've heard the voice of the Lord today. Then you need to obey what he's telling you to do. Are there anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. You are our good shepherd. Lord, help us to follow you. Lord, in all the ways that you would have us to go. And Lord, that we would be obedient. Now, Lord, thank you for my family here today. Oh, Lord, would you bless them and would you keep them? Lord, all that they do, Lord, may they honor you and honor your voice. And I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.